Luke chapter 5 and reading verse number 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now that's an old fashioned word of physician, it's just a doctor. Those that are whole need not a doctor, but those that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And God will bless the public reading of Holy Scripture. Sickness. That's what the Lord Jesus spoke about when he was here. I want to tell you, the UK is sick. I don't know if you agree with that statement or not, but it is sick. Deeply sick. There's a deep spiritual sickness in our country. There's divisions, there's social divisions, there's ethnic divisions, there's all sorts of divisions, but the greatest division of them all is the spiritual division that's taking place in our country. There's a spiritual vacuum. There's a nothingness. Young people, generally speaking, I'm not speaking about individuals, as a general rule, don't have the answers to their questions. And they're meandering down the pathway of life without any clear sense of where they're going and what they're resting on. And it's not just for the young folk, it's older folk too. A good part of my job is to not only visit the sick and the people who are dying, but to speak to middle-aged people who've lost their way in life. Things didn't work out in their work practice. And just wonder where it's all gone the last 20 or 30 years. And they're wondering just what's gone wrong. There's a sickness, a deep spiritual sickness in our country. Not so long ago, I stood at the graveside and preached to well over 100 addicts, every one of them a heroin addict. On their face was written, sickness. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just heroin addicts that you can see it in their face. It's every single part of the human family. Sin has left its stain upon us. It really has. You know, when you're in a doctor's surgery, I better be careful because I'm staying with my good friend Bobby and Josh, and I better be careful what I say about doctors. But you know, when you're in a doctor's surgery, one of the things you'll really notice is nobody speaks. Have you noticed that? Everybody's silent. And here's a man wheezing over here, and he's clearly got a chest infection, and someone over here, maybe a wee boy with his mum with, I don't know, chicken pox, and somebody over here, and they look fine, they're not saying too much, but everybody's in silence, nobody's speaking. And, you know, I remember being in the surgery not so long ago, and a man coming in, and into the silence, he said to me in the Scottish vernacular, he says, "What's wrong with you?" Which in English means, "What's wrong with you?" And, you know, there's just something about that type of question. You don't want to answer it. That's not for him to hear. That's for the doctor to hear. And we'll just all sit in silence, thank you very much. And we'll all sit in our sickness round the waiting room. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me that our whole country is a big waiting room. There's a sickness. And the Lord Jesus said, amazingly, that he was the great physician. He was the great doctor. God, who came down as a baby to Bethlehem's manger, they called him Jesus, was at a carpenter's bench, who was brought up in Nazareth, a Galilee, and ultimately died at a place called Calvary, and rose again on the third day, and has ascended back to the Father. My Saviour, Jesus Christ, called himself a great doctor, a great physician. But he said these words, "Those that are whole need not a physician, but those that are sick." Just want you to think about that little expression, "that are sick." And I wonder if you'll admit that you have a sickness too. You know, the Bible says that we've all got a great spiritual malaise. And it's not just breakdown of family life, broken homes, unhappy lives, unfulfilled ambitions, bitterness, envy. You know, it goes even further than that. That's just the symptoms. The root cause of it all is, it's a three-letter word that you daren't speak about today. It's called sin. And we've all got it. The Lord Jesus came down to earth to deal with the biggest issue in our lives. He came down to earth to deal with the biggest problem that we have. And that's why I love to preach about him. Because he does deal with the big issue. He doesn't just deal with the symptoms. He deals with the root cause of the problem. And a great text for Christianity is found in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins. That's at the heart of the gospel. Is that the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ was to deal with the sin issue head on. Absolutely head on. And he not only deals with broken arms and broken legs, he deals with broken hearts and broken lives and broken minds That's my Saviour. Do you remember the man who asked me what was wrong with me? Do you know, I don't know if you feel about this, but, you know, you just can't open up to everybody with what your problem is. One thing about a doctor, you know, they have to care about you. They have to have an interest in you. I remember, you know, a young man, I was a deputy head in a high school at the time, and he came up to me and he was a straight A student. I suppose in A-level language, we don't do A-levels in Scotland, but I suppose it would be straight A's, A-star. And but he was also known to be rude, obtuse, and not socially adept at getting on with people. And he said to me, I said, I hear you want to do medicine. He said, no, I want to be a GP, corrected me. So I said to him, tell me, what do you think the most important characteristic is of a doctor? He thought for a second. And with a measure of pride, he said to me, intelligence. I says, well, that would be very important. You couldn't be without it. I says, what about care? And what about compassion? You know, you'll not just open up to anybody about what your problems are. You've got to make sure that the doctor cares about you. That they have your interests at heart. They actually are interested in you. You're not a number. You're a real individual. Before you'll begin to open up. I want to tell you about the most trustworthy doctor there is. The most trustworthy physician this world has ever known. I want to tell you, he has an interest in you. But more than that, he loves you. But more than that, he loves you unconditionally. Now there you are. That's what the Bible tells me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he's not just interested in loving everybody, he loves you. You know, there's a great text in Galatians 2 and 20. I love it. It says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And again, it's great to say, ladies and gentlemen, that Christ loves you. Yeah, you personally. I don't know hardly anybody in the audience, but I can tell you, I can go down every single row and say to you, God loves you. And my Saviour's died for you personally. And he's interested in you. With all your foibles, with all your feelings, with all your background, with all your context, he loves you. And he's interested in your eternal well-being. He wants to solve your biggest problem. The problem of your sin and of your spiritual illness. You know, the verse that was used to speak to my brother when he was a boy getting saved was just a little verse in 1 Peter. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And you know, it's just a thought that Christ is interested in taking all your cares. He's interested in your cares, not his. Yours. And he loves you. We live in a world that knows nothing about that. A love that is often parochial. We love our own. But I want to tell you about a man who came to this world because he loved boys and girls and men and women. And I can say he died for every single man and woman and every single boy and girl. He cares for you. But you know, we must all want it. This is the trouble. You know, he says in this verse here, they that are whole need not a physician. In Mark's account, he just puts the words the other way around. They have no need of a physician. Maybe it just strengthens it for me. This idea, I don't need it. I don't need a doctor. I don't need a doctor. You know, me and you folk, and I'm pretty certain they got into their 80s before they ever went to a doctor. And, you know, they would struggle their way through life and they would just never admit that they needed to go. And they'd have all sorts of magic potions that they would take instead of going to the doctor. And I had a father-in-law, you know, and I remember my wife phoning me, and he was eventually persuaded to go to the doctors. And when he got into the doctor's surgery, doctor says, you can't go back. He was a sheep farmer. He says, I've called the ambulance. He says, I need to go back and feed the sheep. He says, you can't move, sir. He says, the ambulance is coming from you. You're having a cardiac arrest. That was my father-in-law. Maybe you've met people like this. They just will not go. You see, they don't need it. They just don't need it. I want to tell you, when it comes to the matter of your spiritual ill health, you need a doctor. The Bible puts it this way, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a universal problem. It doesn't matter who we are. All we like sheep have gone astray, says Isaiah 53. We have turned everyone to his own way. It doesn't leave anyone of us out. There's a universal need, a universal sickness that we all have. And I just wonder if you're prepared to admit it today. You see, the Saviour is really saying here that he stands as the great physician, the great doctor, but you have to acknowledge that you're sick. You have to acknowledge that you have a need. You say, I'm not an addict. I'm not a heroin addict. You mentioned them before. I'm not an alcoholic. You'll see no nicotine stains in my hand. But you know, it might just be that you're a compulsive liar. It might be that you just your temper. Before you know it, somebody just says something and you've gone off on one. And you give people a good piece of your mind and you try and make it a virtue, but you know fine well it's wrong. Or maybe, you know what, in your heart, nobody knows about it, but you're deeply covetous. You really desire things that aren't yours. You've got illicit desires. Something will have the better of you. Because sin's got a hold of us all. A little verse in Proverbs 5:21, you shall be holding with the cords of your sin. Sin's like a big cord that gets round us. And we're all in need. Ladies and gentlemen, I can go down every row, and I don't even know who you are. You could be the most outstanding citizen of Bicester, but I can tell you, you have a spiritual sickness. But you've got to acknowledge it. You've got to acknowledge it. And I wonder if you're prepared to acknowledge it today. You know, not only do we have to acknowledge our sickness, and not only do we need to make sure that the doctor has our interests at heart, but we also got to make sure that the doctor is competent. You know, you wouldn't go to just any old quack, would you, when you had cancer? You'd want to meet the cancer specialist, wouldn't you? You want to make sure the person's qualified that's going to advise you on your chemotherapy or your radiotherapy. You know, there's something about just making sure that the qualifications are there. I want to tell you about the most qualified doctor there is in this world. My Saviour, you know, he not only has your interests at heart, he's not only got compassion, he's got the competence. You see, in order to deal with my sin, he himself has to be sinless. There's no point in telling me to swim a bit faster if I'm struggling to swim. There's no doubt you shouting instruction at the side of the pool to tell me if I can't swim. And if you jump in, you can't swim either, then you're no use to me. Absolutely no use to me whatsoever. You've got to be able to swim yourself. And if someone's going to take away my sin, then they themselves have not to have the same problem as I do. He has to be a sinless man. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about a man who never sinned. They call him Jesus. I call him the Lord Jesus. He's my Saviour. The Bible says, in him is no sin. The Bible says he knew no sin. The Bible says he did no sin. The Bible says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. A man that never had to apologise once. We all hang our heads in shame because we have to do it many times. A man that never had to revoke a word or a step. A man that never lost his temper. Who never told a lie. Who was never rude or uncouth. Who always said the right thing at the right time. Who always said the right thing with the right motive. He's a wonderful man, you know. My Saviour is a sinless man. You know, they watched his life for 33 and a half years. And they couldn't convict him of one thing. He said on one occasion, which of you convicteth me of sin? Not one could point a finger at him. Pilate said 3 times, this man has done nothing amiss. He couldn't point a finger at him. I want to tell you, he's competent because he himself is sinless. But if he's going to take away my sin, he himself has to be divine. He himself has to be eternal. Maybe, perhaps, one person he could die for, but to die for the whole of the human race, the whole of the human family, he must be someone who is himself eternal. And I want to tell you, the babe at Bethlehem's manger, and the boy at the carpenter's bench, and the man that died on Calvary, is none other than Emmanuel, God with us. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that God became a baby. That God became a man. God manifest in flesh. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And as soon as you take away his deity, then he can't save me. But I want to tell you, he is God. The Bible says that they said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Thomas fell down at his feet on one occasion in John's Gospel in chapter 20 and said, my Lord and my God. And I want to tell you, the great physician, the great doctor, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's God and he's a perfect man. But you know, if he's going to take away my sins and he's going to deal with the great disease that I have, he must be willing to do it. You know, he said in this very chapter I've read from, that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. You know, he does have power on earth to forgive sins. And the reason he has power on earth to forgive sins is that he went to the old rugged cross to die for my sins. Calvary was no mistake. Calvary was no tragic error. Calvary was a deliberate plan of God, that God's Son would enter into the judgments of a sin-hating God, and that Calvary, yes, they nailed him to the cross. Yes, they lashed his back. Yes, they tore his beard. Yes, they placed a crown of thorns upon his head. And humans will be held responsible for the despicable deeds they did to my Saviour. But in the hours of Calvary, he died for my sins. He was judged for my sins in the agonies of Golgotha. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for our sins. And the issue, the big issue in my life, the thing that plagues me to death, he's dealt with it in full at Calvary. And he's now alive forevermore. Having been raised from the third day, he's a living Christ. Not a dead hero, not a code of ethics for you to follow, not some dead creed. No, a living Christ to save you. And that's what he offers. The question is, are you willing to take the remedy? You say, well, what is the remedy? Well, he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Seemed to me when I was growing up that the remedy was always made to be really awful to take. In our house, if you had a cold, there was a big brown bottle. I'll tell you what, it was foul stuff. And I was always told this would be good for me. And you took it down manfully. There's something about the remedy. It was never very good, was it? But you knew you had to take it. I want to tell you, that is the biggest issue, I believe, for people. Repentance is the remedy. They that are whole need not a physician, need not a doctor, but they that are sick. You say, I acknowledge my sickness. Well, I came not to call those who think they're righteous. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repentance is a 180 degrees turn from my sin. Repentance is a completely forsaking of my sins. And I've discovered that many people are not ready for the remedy. You see, God wants you to forsake your sins. Completely forsake them. Turn your back on them. You know those things in your life are absolutely incompatible with Christ. Turn your back on them. Ask, oh God, for help to overcome them. And turn away from them. And turn to the Lord Jesus, the great physician, the one who died for you at Calvary, and the one who rose again from the dead, and say, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. I'm guilty, lost, helpless. Thou canst make me whole. And you turn to him, and he'll never turn you away. You know, he's a great doctor, you know. He's interested in you as an individual, and there's no case too hard for him. He's never known to fail in a case, you know. He's never been known to get the wrong diagnosis. He's never been known to get the wrong remedy. He's never been known to save a soul and it's all gone pear-shaped in the sense that he never actually saved them. I want to tell you, when God saves you, he saves you for eternity. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall never, never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, it's really true. He wants to fix you eternally. And so in order to do that, he wants to deal with the big issue in your life, sin. He wants to forgive it. But he also wants to give you eternal life. That's why we gave it to him. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you the promise of heaven. He wants to take away the fear of hell. He wants to save your precious soul. But he wants more than that. He wants you to have a relationship with him. Christianity is not about an hour on a Sunday. Christianity is about Monday afternoon and Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday night. It's about the dark days and the happy days of life. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to come into your life. For Christ to dwell in your heart by faith. Christianity is an intimate relationship with Christ. It's not religion you need. It's a relationship with Christ. And so he says these words, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I wonder, you know, if there's someone here, first night of these tent meetings, and you know you need to get saved. This isn't the first time perhaps you've heard this message. You know you need to get saved. And you know that there's a deep sickness in your heart. Perhaps beyond what anyone else round about you knows. But God knows. But God knows. I wonder if you're just putting this whole matter off. I wonder, you know, just where you stand. I wonder, you know, if the seriousness and the gravity of the situation, you've grasped it. You know, I had a brief chat with someone on the phone just yesterday, because I'm missing the meetings back at home, and he used to say to me, this man, just about a year ago, I remember him saying to me, a couple of times after he was saved, he says, I used to meet these people, he says, and we would smoke dope, and we would drink alcohol together. He says, now I meet with them for tea and scones, and I preach the gospel to them. I tell you, salvation changes you. It changes you. It's real, you know. It's not made up. It changes you. And he's wanting to change you. He's wanting to fix you. He's wanting to heal you. He's wanting to make you well again, spiritually well again. Why would you resist him? Maybe I would put it another way. How could you resist him? To me, he's irresistible, you know. He's the great physician, the great doctor. And our prayer is, as we commence these meetings, you'll understand that he's ready to receive you. Years ago, you know, 70 years ago is when the NHS started in Britain, but before that, you had to pay for the doctor. Many countries, you still do. I want to tell you, he doesn't want any of your money. He's already paid the bill at the cross. He's paid it in full, you know. It's all free, you know. Whosoever will may come. And he stands as a great physician, and he's ready to heal you. He's compassionate. He cares about you. He loves you as an individual. And he's competent. There's nothing he can't do. There's no case too hard for him. Will you come to him tonight? Or will you go back out the tent still unsaved, without Christ, without salvation, without hope, without blessing, without sins forgiven, without the hope of heaven, still in your sins, still in your sickness? And all the time he was there, you say, if he'll come, will he accept me? I remember a lady saying to me, the thing is, Craig, will he accept me? And I want to say to you, he will accept you. The Bible says, him or her that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The one thing I can assure you is acceptance. Won't you come tonight? May God bless you.
Turn with me to the New Testament, please. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. That will be sufficient for our reading. Now, I want to speak to you concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You would notice, of course, that Craig read to you from the Scriptures. And I have read also to you from the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And I think that if you come every night, you will find that each night we will take the Word of God. And tonight I want to assure you in the tent at the commencement of these meetings that what we preach in this tent, my friend, is based wholly upon the Bible, God's written Word. You can have absolute confidence that what we preach to you in this tent is not something that has been made up. It's not a message that has been made up or concocted by some Christian group of people. No, my friends. This comes from God's Word. And we're going to read to you every night from the Bible and preach to you concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to testify to you from the Word of God tonight, my friend, that what we preach to you is based and is from the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. We've read together this evening of a woman. Her name was Mary Magdalene. There were a number of women that we read in the verse, but I want to just pick out one of those women, that is Mary Magdalene. It tells us in the verse that we read that she stood by the cross of Jesus. I want you to know, and I hope you keep coming back to these meetings, but I want you to know on the opening night again, my friend, that every time you come to the tent, there is going to be a person that we preach to you. That is the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you come to the tent, we're going to uphold for you the great message of the cross. How that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and gave his life as a sacrifice upon a cross on a hill 2,000 years ago outside the walls of Jerusalem city. He gave his life a ransom for many, says the Bible. And every night as you come along to these tent meetings, we're going to preach to you concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. What a person he is. We've been hearing this evening from our brother from the Bible. We've been hearing already this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior for sinners. How thankful in this tent that we can come to preach to you the exclusive person of God's Son who could utter these words on one occasion. Listen to them carefully, my friend. He could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. And in these nights of gospel preaching, should God permit, we're going to preach to you that Christ Jesus, the Son of God, he's the only way of salvation. He's the only Savior for sinners. He's the unique Son of God who came to planet Earth to die on a cross, to give his life. Well, we read of a woman named Mary, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had come to the Lord Jesus Christ and had come to find in him the salvation that my brother has been preaching to you already this evening. In fact, she was a very sick woman. The Bible tells us that she was a woman who was possessed of 7 demons. She came to Christ on one occasion and she was loosed. Loosed from the power of Satan. Loosed from the bondage which constrained her. Here was a woman who was bound up by Satan's chain. My friend, whoever you are and wherever you're from and whatever kind of background you've had, we do long for upstanding citizens. We do long to see people in this world who respect and obey the laws that the government set forth. But whoever you may be, an upstanding citizen or a pauper in the gutter, my friend, whoever you are, you have this need of sin, this desperate need, this plight. This woman was no different. She was a woman that evidently had this pressing need. I'm very thankful that I can testify to you that she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what it tells me about the Lord Jesus Christ when Mary Magdalene came to him? It says, he cast out those devils. He cast out the demons. Here was one, my friend, who has power over Satan. Here is one, my friend, who can loose you from the bondage of your sin. Here is one that we preach in the tent, the mighty Son of God, my friend, who can loose you from the shackles of sin, loose you from the very guilt, give you peace with God. The Bible says that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician who heals the sick. He will loose you from the bondage of sin. My brother has been standing here this afternoon, and I'm standing here now, and we're a testimony to this great truth that Christ has loosed us. And I can tell you, my friend, the message of the cross stands upon the pinnacle of time. And millions have been blessed by the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They've heard the message of the cross. The Bible tells us in this verse that Mary Magdalene, she stood by the cross of Jesus. You know, there were 3 crosses there that day. I trust in these meetings that we're going to speak about that great truth. In the will of God, I would like to stay close to the cross in these meetings and speak to you about individuals who were connected to the cross. But I tell you, my friend, there were 3 crosses there that day. I'm very thankful it doesn't tell us. She stood by the cross of the criminals. There were 2 criminals who were crucified with Christ that day. Christ, the center cross, who came purposefully to give his life as a ransom, who came purposefully, my friend, to the cross of Calvary, that he might offer himself without spot to God, that he might at the cross of Calvary take the judgment from God that we deserve because of our sin. I'm happy to tell you tonight, my friend, he could do that and exhaust it in its totality. But there being three crosses there that day, can you imagine if the Bible had recorded that Mary Magdalene stood by the cross of one of the criminals? Can I ask you tonight, my friend, who are you standing with? You're standing in identification. This lady was standing in identification with the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to tell you tonight, my friend, I'm happy to take my place alongside the cross of my blessed Savior. I'm happy to tell you tonight, my friend, the work of the cross has been accomplished. My Savior has been taken down from the cross. He's been raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, and he's exalted in heaven as we preach to you in this tent. But I'm happy to take my stand by the cross of Jesus. It's at the cross of Jesus, my dear friend, here depicted for us in the chart. Well, if I was preaching from the chart that I use in Australia, this little doorway here, we have it illustrated as a cross. And in the cross, we have the door. And we have the same verse, John 10, verse 9. The door at the cross of Jesus Christ. My friend, you have to get to the cross. You have to get to the person of Jesus Christ. You have to understand, my friend, he bore my sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross of Calvary. And I'm thankful to tell you tonight, you can stand in identification with the cross of Jesus. I'm happy to tell you tonight also, my friend, that the cross of the criminals couldn't help you. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, and it tells us this. Well, it poses a question. There were some individuals that arrived at the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you were to turn into the next chapter, chapter 20 of John's record of the gospel, you would find Mary and she's arrived at the tomb. But there were some individuals that arrived at the tomb. And the angels had a message for these individuals. And it was simply this question. Why seek ye the living among the dead? You see, my friend, when we preach to you the cross of Jesus Christ, we preach to you a person who can do something about your sin. Can I tell you, my friend, he's done something about your sin. Mm-hmm. And tonight, as an individual, he can do something about the problem that you have that's plagued you all your life. He can loose you from it. He can deliver you and grant to you the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. But these criminals, why seek ye the living among the dead? Could I pose the same question tonight in the tent? There are many people throughout England and the British Isles and across Europe, right out across the globe, and they are seeking for life in dead places. Maybe you came to this tent tonight because you thought, well, there's a religious service up the road in the tent at Bicester. Maybe I might find some hope and some help if I get what these religious people have. I don't blame you if you think that. I used to think that, you know. I used to think that people that populated a tent like this, they were religious people. I didn't really have any time for religious people. I am very thankful to tell you, my friend, they're not religious people propagating some religious practice whereby if you do X, Y, and Z, then you find some merit with God, some favor with God, and in the coming judgment day, God will look upon you kindly when he considers the religious accomplishments in your life. No, my friend, I'm happy to tell you tonight, there is nothing for you to do in any religious accomplishment. No baptism will save your soul. No taking of any sacraments will loose you from the guilt and bondage of sin and Satan. No, my friend, no meritorial works, no good works can you ever do to find favor with the eternal God. I tell you tonight in this set tent, precious souls, that Christ has done the work. Calvary's cross stands as a testimony to the great fact that Christ has paid the supreme price for sinners. What you need to do is take your stand at the cross. What you need to do is take your stand with Jesus Christ. I remember we were singing on one occasion in a tent meeting down in Australia. We concluded a meeting with a hymn that was appropriate for that meeting. Who is on the Lord's side? I wonder tonight, are you on the Lord's side? I wonder in the tent tonight. You see, the criminals couldn't help this woman. They were sick too. It was Christ. This woman had come to experience the mighty power of the Son of God in salvation. And she was happy to take her stand by the cross of Jesus. Can I tell you tonight, my friends, the cross of Jesus Christ was no accident. It was purposed by God before this world was ever formed. It would testify again tonight, my friend, that this is just no religious message that we have, or a message concerning some religion of planet Earth. You see, all the religions of planet Earth can trace their origins back to a moment in time. But when we trace the message of the cross, we trace it back to an origin prior to the very foundations of the earth ever being set. You know what the Bible tells us? That when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, a purposeful act by the eternal God, who in his eternal counsels and according to his foreknowledge had decreed that his Son would pay the price for human sin, and his Son would be the great Savior for this world. And he gave his Son as an offering to this world, my friend. He sent his Son, the Bible says, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He sent his Son purposefully into this world to pay the price for human sin and to offer the human race salvation. Well, my friends, it tells us in the Bible, you know, it's still the same today. They just disapproved of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't want him. I'm very thankful to tell you, it says in the Bible that he was a man approved of God. He was a man that was set forth by God. A man that had been sent by God. A man that displayed and gave great testimony to this truth. That he was a man sent from God, testified to by the miracles and signs and wonders that he performed in the midst of the people. I tell you, precious soul in this tent, You come close to Christ and you'll realize he is unique. You get to the cross of Calvary and you'll realize, my friend, there's no Savior like the Son of God. And I can tell you tonight by personal experience, you come and you get to know something concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he has accomplished at Calvary's cross on behalf of you, a sinner. And the mighty satisfaction that it's brought to the heart of God, as God has raised him and exalted him with the promise that he's coming back again. I would suspect, my dear friend, that it will touch your soul. There's many persons in this tent, and even as I speak, they look back to an experience along life's pathway when they came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. The workings of God in their life. God brought them into touch with the gospel in various ways and by various means. And they came to hear concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to hear that he was the Savior for sinners, the great physician that heals the sick, the mighty Son of God, who has dealt with the problem of sin to the satisfaction of God himself. The one who has been raised from among the dead. The mighty Son of God who's coming back to planet Earth. And there are many people in this tent tonight that at some point in life's pathway, they've put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight their hearts are thrilled. And it is as it were. That they stand with the preacher. And we testify to you collectively. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We testify to you collectively tonight, my friend. He is a Savior well worth trusting. He's a wonderful Savior. Jesus the Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. I am very thankful that I've ever come to put my trust in him. The cross. The message of Christ. Its transforming power in the life of the individual. Well, where are you seeking? Are you right with God? Are you saved in this tent? Tonight, have you been seeking for life in dead places? I'm very happy to tell you, you're in the right place to hear the message of life. You know, there is something that I sometimes say to the people. I think I read this on one occasion, but it's kind of become a favorite quote. You know, the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The only thing I'm ashamed of is the way I preach it sometimes. Oh, I long to be able to tell you better concerning the cross of Christ. That's why we bring to you the word of God. That's why we read to you tonight. And night after night we will read to you the Bible. Concerning the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. How I would love to testify to you. How I would love to reach into your soul, into these meetings. How I would love to see you penetrated with the message of the gospel concerning God's Son. How I would love to see you trust him and go on your way rejoicing. The Bible says concerning this woman, she stood by the cross of Jesus. Will you take your stand by the cross of Jesus tonight? Can I tell you this? I do hope that these experiences will be beneficial to you. That's why we speak them. There was a time, my friend, when I was ashamed of this book. If you feel a bit like that tonight, I understand how you feel. Maybe you slipped into the tent quietly. There was a time when I was ashamed of the cross of Christ. I remember actually the first day I ever came to work for a Christian man. The very first day I ever worked for him, he gave me a Bible. And I went home that evening with the Bible. And I was living in a house where there were no Christian people. And I went into the house that night like that, with the Bible tucked safely out of sight. And I put it away in a little backpack, right down the bottom of a backpack that I had. And then it came out at some point and it went under the pillow of where I slept. And then eventually it went on the little sideboard. And then I came to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm very thankful to tell you I was happy to walk through the house with that Bible. This is the power of God. And it testifies to us concerning the Lord Jesus, who died for sinners, gave his life. Come back again, won't you? We want to tell you more concerning Christ and the cross, the work that he accomplished. Now we're going to pray.